Coming up on today's show...
My goal was always to serve God, but I think something went wrong in my formation, or maybe it's just human nature, where I did it for selfish reasons, for wanting to be happy.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode is released. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Oftentimes on a sports broadcast, the camera will capture two teammates talking on the sidelines, on the bench, in the dugout, whatever the case may be. Sadly, we are living in a time where they are often looking for what seems as though it might be some sort of disagreement. Controversy sells, so any heated exchange between teammates makes for good television, is the thinking. However, I wonder how often we stop to ask ourselves, unless you can tell it clearly is a disagreement, if in fact what is actually transpiring is one player figuratively or literally giving their teammate a pat on the back and passing along inspiration, meaning not criticism. After all, in our faith life, we have been given the directive of doing exactly that and not chewing out our brothers and sisters in Christ. In the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says, quote, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, as indeed you do." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest attended Benedictine College Preparatory, where he distinguished himself as a three-sport athlete. He went on to play Division I soccer at Mount St. Mary's and Longwood University. He later coached at Longwood for 10 years, transforming the soccer program into one of the top-ranked teams in Virginia. He achieved similar success by elevating the St. Gertrude's soccer program to statewide prominence. In the fall of 2025, he accepted his current position as a teacher and head soccer coach at Dematha Catholic High School in Maryland. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Daniel Gill.
Hi, Bruce. Great to be with you.
Likewise, Daniel. Thank you for making time for this. And I just mentioned a few different places in that intro, so set the record straight. Where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size?
I grew up in Richmond, Virginia. I was one of six kids. I was born in the middle, one of the two middle children. Yeah, Richmond, Virginia.
So what is the boy-girl breakdown out of the six?
Four boys, four very rambunctious boys, and two girls.
In the lead-up to today, you told me, quote, "grew up Catholic, but I would say was more of a Christian home." Why so? Explain that.
I mean, we attended Mass most Sundays, not every Sunday, but most Sundays. And I think my mom, I heard my dad describe her as basically a Methodist at the time of us growing up. And so she was deeply Christian, deeply into her faith, and we attended Catholic Mass. But I never felt like there was something specifically special about being Catholic growing up. It was just, I'm a Christian. There's a lot of Christians out there. It wasn't until later that I came to see how special being Catholic was.
Okay, so you must not have been attending a Catholic school then as a child, I'm guessing.
Well, I was homeschooled until fifth grade,
which
was an interesting experience. And so I didn't attend Catholic school until fifth grade. And then I attended Catholic school through high school and then initially Mount St. Mary's before going to Longwood, which was the public school.
Well, you say that you started taking your faith seriously in middle school. Why is that? What happened then?
I guess I'm weird. I mean, none of my friends were really like that in middle school and high school. But like I said, my mom was very deeply into her faith. She instilled it into us, my dad, by example also. And probably a pivotal moment was I attended this sleepaway camp every summer called Camp Willow Run, which is in Littleton, North Carolina. You sleep in boxcars, it's overnight, and it's a deeply religious camp. And someone there or something there convinced me to turn my life over to Christ at a young age, which I did. And since it's been pretty steady since then, I mean, there's obviously peaks and valleys, but since I was in middle school, I've taken my faith seriously and have not fallen away from it.
All right, hold on a second. Bruce, this is called Catholic Sports Radio. You got to talk to him about sports. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you. So, Daniel, by the time you got to high school, you were all in with sports. I mentioned in the intro that you were a three-sport athlete. Share with us about what those three sports were, as well as maybe what your mindset was as far as continuing on with sports as you graduated high school.
So growing up, my parents didn't really let us watch a whole lot of TV or be inside really hardly at all, video games or anything like that. So I was just kicked outside for the most part. And I had a bunch of cousins in my neighborhood, a bunch of kids in my neighborhood, my brothers, neighbors. And so I was just always playing sports, football, basketball. But the ones I really settled on and grew to love were basketball, tennis, and soccer. And all of them I trained extremely hard at, not just going to practices at school, but just on my own. I remember in season playing soccer practices or basketball practices after school for 2 hours and then going home and playing another 2 hours. I was actually thinking about the other day that my mom told me that the rule in the neighborhood was I had to come in by 10 p.m. because the bouncing of the basketball or the bouncing of the soccer ball was keeping the neighbors up. So that actually seems very lenient to me, 10 p.m., but that was what the neighbor said I had to come in by. So I was just always playing, and it was always a big part of my life, and I always wanted to keep playing, and so I played all of those at the varsity level in high school.
Wow, wow. So being that you had told us that in middle school you did decide to give your life to Christ, I'm hearing all this sports participation and thinking that maybe by the time you graduated, was sports your number one priority in life at that point? Were you just thinking, okay, now I got to go play sports in college somewhere, or were you, you know, still really prioritizing your faith?
Sports was the number one thing. I wanted to go to college to play sports, and the fact that it ended up being a Catholic college with Mount St. Mary's was a coincidence, basically. But the main thing was sports. That was my passion. My faith was strong, but I would have gone to a public school. And I even remember when I transferred from Mount St. Mary's, there was a priest in Richmond who I ran into, a Benedictine priest from high school. And he's like, I heard you transferred from Mount St. Mary's to Longwood. I was like, yeah, soccer related. He's like, oh, so you gave up a Catholic education for soccer. And I was just like, yeah. Like, I was like, why are you even asking me that? So to me at the time, yes, it was, not that my faith came second to sports, but in terms of what school I went to, it was sports first.
By chance, was that a soccer scholarship?
No, so I walked on both places and really had to struggle to get on the team in both places and work really hard. But I did that and actually ended up getting playing time and starting games for both teams, but not a scholarship.
Well, before we get too far away from the time period in your life when you were in high school, take us back specifically to when you were a sophomore, which is when your brother entered the seminary. I'm thinking back to the statement about grew up Catholic, but I would say it was more of a Christian home. Once your brother entered the seminary, did you see a difference in your family faith-wise?
Yes. I remember my older brother turning to my cousin, because it wasn't just my immediate family where I saw a huge increase in participation in not just church, but in particularly Catholicism. And my older brother turned to my cousin and said, "When did our moms become religious zealots?" Because it was, I think it just had a deep impact. And I've never talked to my mom or dad about it now that I'm thinking about it, but it had a deep impact on the family that he made that decision. And I think it was very inspiring, not just to my parents, but to a lot of my aunts and uncles. And so, you know, my dad started listening to Benedictine chants in the house. And
wow.
And I know my mom started going to daily mass, which she had not done before.
Mm.
And for me, I went and visited him, you know, because they let young men go and visit the seminary whenever they want, because they're trying to, you know, get you to come. And that had a deep impact on me, because I just saw all these men there with really nothing. I mean, I don't even think they had heat at this particular seminary. The food often was overdue, just because they had to rely on donations.
Mm.
And their life was basically prayer and work, and they were just so joyful. And then I would go back to, you know, secular world, and I just didn't see that level of joy or happiness or peace.
Mm.
And so that was a big inspiration for me in high school, at a time where really I could have fallen away from my faith. It was the boost I needed at that particular time to keep going.
Wow. Wow. Friends, there's a story that Daniel shared with me in the lead up to today that honestly, I don't think I've ever heard of happening in sports. I don't doubt that it happened, but I want him to share it with all of you, as I know there's a lesson inside of it. I also want to make sure that you noted in the intro when I said that Daniel is currently a teacher and the head soccer coach at a high school in Maryland, that is a Catholic school. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is proud to support Catholic Sports Radio, and they invite you to help them support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide 20 scholarships every year to families striving to ensure their children can attend a Catholic school. If you become a friend of the foundation, you will help them continue this good work, and you will have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholicfoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Please be sure, by the way, to tell them that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. In sports, we talk about great teams. Today, I am inviting you to be a part of this one. The late Catholic priest and spiritual writer Henry Nouwen said that giving is a way for someone to place their own heart into God's work. Over the years, guests and listeners have done just that for Catholic Sports Radio, helping make it possible to keep going strong. For 7 years, I have shown up every week to do this show, not as a job, but as my ministry. And just like any ministry, it takes resources to keep going: equipment, hosting, outreach, and more. When you give, whether online through the blue Donate to CSR button or by mailing a check, you are not just helping with expenses. You are stepping onto the team. You are joining in the calling God has placed before us. I usually ask you to prayerfully consider making a one-time gift as part of your tithing. This week, I am pleased to announce that someone that I mentioned on a previous episode in the context of having made a financial gift to my ministry has come back around and started making a monthly contribution. That is an option that you will see when you do utilize the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. He is doing it to support my ministry, not for the attention, which is why I'm not saying his name, but I am truly grateful for that and would otherwise have happily mentioned who it is. When you make a gift to Catholic Sports Radio, I will be honored to thank you publicly, or keep you anonymous if you also prefer. Either way, together we can share Christ's light through the world of sport. Daniel, I said that I was going to have you share a story that I honestly don't think I've ever heard of happening in sports. I think you know what I'm referring to. So fill the audience in on that, including what lesson might have come from it.
Okay. It's an embarrassing story, but I will tell it. So I started coaching after high school at Benedictine College Prep, which was my alma mater. And I was assistant coach for a couple years, and I took over as head coach. And the program was just in not a good situation. We were just struggling. And so my first year we did okay. And I was like, oh, like I've got this coaching thing down, I think, as a 23 or 24-year-old. And then the next year, I mean, we were just not very good at all, just awful. And we lost a lot of games, like 5-0, 8-0. And the story you're referring to was we were playing a team called John Paul the Great Catholic School in Dumfries, Virginia. And they had scored so many goals on us. And my assistant coach was in charge of like updating the scoreboard that I told him, I think once it got to 7 or 8, I told him just to stop putting the goals up. And I think they scored maybe 4 or 5 more. So the final score would have been 13-0. And I'm a very competitive person, and I could not bring myself to keep putting the goals up. Mm. But what came out of that was that I realized I wasn't a very good coach, and I needed to get better, because it's one thing to lose close games, but obviously losing like that, something needs to change. And I ended up getting into coaching education and eventually going to Spain to learn about coaching.
Wow.
And we, you know, in a few years beat that same team that had beaten us that badly.
Wow.
And I would have never been so dedicated to coaching education and learning and everything that that's brought me and brought the teams that I coached without, if I had been successful initially, I would have been like, oh, I got it. I don't need to learn. And maybe eventually it would have come, but I've always been so thankful. I wasn't thankful at the time, but thankful that those early losses occurred that way.
Wow. You say that you honestly are not much involved in the church, but instead have always seen your role as what?
I've always seen my role as someone that spends a lot of time with people who are not involved in the faith or practicing Christians. Almost all of my friends growing up were not practicing Christians. All my friends in high school and college, for the most part, were not. You know, I would go to the parties in college and in high school, but I wouldn't partake in a lot of the activities that were going on there. I was a designated driver. So I just always felt like while I was able to keep my own faith, it was my job to spend time with people that their faith was not important to them. And a lot of really great things have come out of that. But yeah, I mean, I've thought about joining the Knights of Columbus, or I've thought about getting more involved in the church, but it never, when I pray about it, it just never seems like, at least currently, that's a role that I should get involved with.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you're saying that God has you where he wants you right now, which is, as you say, you spend a lot of time with people who are not believers, and you're doing the work of the church in that particular area at this particular time.
Correct. And I think being homeschooled, I grew up without a lot of peer pressure. I think that's where it comes from. I'm able to go into situations where there is a lot of peer pressure to do certain things, and I just don't feel the pressure to do them. And so I think, you know, how weird like life things work together. I think the homeschool protected me from the peer pressure for a long enough time that now I can stand up to it. And so I've never really had a problem going into those situations and keeping my faith. So I think that is my role is the short answer.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to follow up on that then, because you made a statement to me a few days ago that you have always believed and tried to serve God, but you think often in an immature way. So I'm a little confused. Walk us through that.
Okay. Well, I think, and this was at a subconscious level, probably more than a conscious level, but my goal was always to serve God. But I think something went wrong in my formation, or maybe it's just human nature, where I did it for selfish reasons, for wanting to be happy, wanting to have life figured out, knowing that if a problem came up, I could always pray about it or read this book and it would fix it, and wanting to not suffer as much as maybe other people because I always had my faith and all the peace and grace that came from it. And I don't think any of those are bad things that I just mentioned, but they were at the heart of my faith, I would say, through my teens and in my 20s. And it wasn't until later that I think my faith matured, where it wasn't about good feelings. It became about, something more. I hope that makes sense. That's what I was referring to.
Okay. Well, you were kind enough to be humble and go ahead and share with us about the tough times with soccer and fortunately the, pardon the pun, the victory that came from it and going into coaching education. So I do want to give you a chance. I mentioned back in the intro, it's funny that we're still getting used to saying 2026. I said the fall of 2025, you accepted your current position as teacher and head soccer coach at DeMatha Catholic High School in Maryland. So it really wasn't that long ago at all, but I believe you have at least had your first season under your belt. Just tell us how things have been going for you in the soccer program at DeMatha High School.
Well, DeMatha has one of the premier sports programs in the whole country in terms of high school athletics. So it's been really amazing. There's a ton of really talented players here in all sports. And so in terms of soccer, though, I didn't get up there until August. We have a fall season, so we didn't have much of a preseason. And then I had my first child in August. And so the first season was a little rough. I think, a new coach, the seniors buying in and all that type of stuff. So we got off to a slow start, but really finished the year strong and had a really solid season. And yeah, I'm just really excited to see where the program can go, because the DeMatha soccer, they won the national championship maybe 10 or 15 years ago. They've been one of the premier programs in the country.
Wow.
So I came in and it's been a little bit of a dip, but I'm really looking forward to that challenge. That's my goal, is to get it, along with the character development, but on the field, to get back to that situation.
And to clarify for the audience, DeMatha Catholic High School is an all-boys school, yes?
Yes, it's an all-boys school right outside of DC. It's about 900, 850, 900 boys.
Okay. Well, we all love a happy ending. And as we start winding down, Daniel, the good news is that you now think you are serving God for the right reasons. Go ahead and share about that with us.
Yeah. So a few years ago, I went through a pretty difficult time in my life, around age 30. And it forced me to really grow in my faith. And one of the things was that I connected with a priest in Richmond. His name was Father John David Ramsey. And he pushed me to, and through his example as well as a priest, but that had a big impact on me. But he also pushed me in my own time to just spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just be quiet and just sit there with God and with Jesus and not say anything, just sit there. And just that simple act of doing that 15 to 30 minutes a day, which I've done every day over the last 3 years, has completely changed my faith. And it's completely changed really my life and how I interact with people. Because like I said before, I was trying to fix everything. Like, oh, if this is happening, I'll just read this book or I'll say this prayer. Whereas now, every day, no matter what has happened, I go into the chapel for 15 or 30 minutes and just sit. And so then instead of relying on myself and my own words, I'm really just relying on God to give me the support that I need. And by doing that, which essentially is doing nothing, I've made way more progress and my life has progressed way more than all the times that I was trying to like, all right, if I just do this, then this will happen. So in that time, I've gotten married, I've had my first child, I've moved, I took a new job, and all that action has come from the inaction of letting God act through me rather than using him as like a tool in my life.
Wow. And I must say, there was a time in my life when things were really, really challenging, and I would leave work at lunchtime, and I would go to the local church just to sit and kind of do what you described. And I just wonder how much you and your coworkers stop to realize how fortunate you are that you work where there is a chapel every single day, and you don't have to say, well, maybe at lunchtime I can squeeze in a quick ride over to the church. Do you all, and I don't mean this in an accusatory manner, but do you just kind of take it for granted? Or is it, no, there's times when my coworkers and I say, like, this is so awesome to just be able to walk over there.
I don't know about my coworkers, but I feel incredibly blessed. And I know at Benedictine, where I was for a decade before DeMatha, there's probably, you know, 4 or 5 faculty members that when I went in there, you know, I would see. Mm. But not only that, but there's mass every morning because it was Benedictine monks at Benedictine, and here there's Trinitarian monks. So no, I feel incredibly blessed to have that.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm sure that either if there's an athletic director at your school or maybe the principal, someone is kind of overseeing to make sure that you are incorporating the faith with sports when you're coaching the soccer team?
Yes, that's all in the coach's handbook. You know, start every practice with a prayer, end every practice with a prayer. Yes, yeah, 100%.
Nice, nice. Well, let's close by having you tell us all about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
So I actually met my wife at my old job at Benedictine, which I do not recommend dating. But it worked out. So we actually, during COVID, they sat us across from each other because no one had a classroom because they didn't, you know, germs and everything. So in the faculty pods, we were sat across from each other, and so that's how we got to know each other. And so I asked her to – I had no desire to train for a marathon, but I was trying to think of a way – I knew she ran, and so I was trying to think of a way to get to know her, and so I asked her to train for a marathon with me. And so that's how we fell in love while running and in extreme pain, which is actually how my parents met. Which is where I got the idea. They ran together, which is kind of cool. So that was 3 years ago, and we dated for a year, got engaged, got married about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
She got pregnant right away, and we had our first daughter, you know, 9 months later. So we have a newborn right now, which has made the move and the new job all that more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Okay, I know there's somebody in the audience that when you said, which I do not recommend, I know there's someone in the audience that went, hey, so why do you not recommend meeting your...
Well, especially at a school, because, you know, the students found out, you know, the faculty know, and let's just say not all faculty members are good at keeping secrets. And so somehow they found out, and so then it was the talk of the school, the senior skit was about our relationship.
Oh my gosh.
Which I thought, you know, wasn't bad, but my wife, I think was funny. And so I was just thinking if, and I really liked Benedictine, the school. So I was just thinking if we broke up, you know, I would have had to have left my job basically because the whole school knew, you know, the whole school community, the parents all knew, and I would have to, you know, that was a smaller school, maybe 300 students. We'd have to see each other all the time. So that's why I don't recommend is just if it had not worked out, it would have been really bad.
Makes sense.
And uncomfortable.
Makes sense. Well, God bless you and her and your newborn. And thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed this.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me, Bruce.
Yeah, my pleasure, Daniel. And audience, as a nod to all the coaching that Daniel is doing and has done, let's close this week's episode with one of our prayers for coaches and do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we all want to win. Above the desire to win, teach us to remember our victories toward godly living as we learn to obey you and your word daily. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net. as well as on Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.